Our subject today is the leper, the Kohen, and the healing of souls. So the subject of leprosy is never such a
Fun.
is never such a fun subject to want to really explore. You know, leprosy is, you know, there were quarantine, there were certain leper houses that they were kept in, and in the times of the temple, it says that people had leprosy, and it meant more than just, you know, a regular, it's not a regular skin condition, but a skin condition. And actually, the Maimonides says this, the Rambam says that it was an extra ordinary, super rational type of an occurrence to have leprosy, right? But that stopped. In other words, after the time of basically around the time that the Jewish people went into exile, and where we couldn't pay attention to really what God was saying via these messages. But at the time that we were able to understand, to be able to distinguish, to be able to internalize the message, then that served as a very, very powerful means of coming to healing, healing of the souls, as we're going to be studying tonight. So why did it stop, right? So it stopped, or leprosy stopped, meaning like we can't interpret leprosy because we stopped paying attention to these signs. In other words, that these signs are ongoing. God is always sending us signs. But the question is, like, what are we doing with those lessons? And once again, in when we were on a different spiritual level, we were able to distinguish. And so in our parsha, we learn about this story of the purification of the leper. And so the Torah actually tells us what happens if a person thinks that they have leprosy, right? And so what is leprosy essentially? So leprosy doesn't have to be that the person is completely white, right? But he has patches of white, and it tells us that how big is the white patch, and it's almost like a quarter or a dime of white that is there on a person's body, right? There are different types of leprosy. There's leprosy of also of the clothing and also of the house, but we're speaking here about the leprosy of the body. And so it's a certain white which has to be almost snow white, or there's snow white, and there's also a white that is of a shell of an egg. And so that was brought before a Kohen, brought before one of the children of Aaron, a priest, right? Literally translates as a priest, the Kohen. And a person says, "I think that I have leprosy." And the Kohen looks at this patch, and if he's not sure, then he gets another 7 days of just coming back, and the Kohen looks at it, and if it became completely white, and plus there's a hair on that patch that turns white, then the person is considered an actual leper. Okay? And that only happens once the Kohen gives that diagnosis. The Kohen actually says he's a leper. Then the leper has to spend time outside of the camp, basically in quarantine. And the Midrash tells us, like, what is he doing there outside of the camp? So he's outside of the camp in solitude and in contemplation of what brought him to this place. What is God telling him? And it gives him time away from life, we could say, where he gets to basically face himself and to ask God, why did this happen? And the Midrash tells us that Metzora is a letters, Motzi Shem Ra, that Metzora comes from a person's blatant way of talking, right? Unrefined levels of speech, where a person says motzi shem ra, brings out a negative name, or says negative things about other individuals, then that is basically the reason, and we call this lashon hara. But the inner reason, and basically the reason why we speak a certain way, right? Why do we speak a certain way? Why do we blurt out certain things? Why do we have these unconscious beliefs? Because they're there deeply in our psyche. They're there in our unconscious. So we may say things, we may not like people, we may do things. Why? Because deep down, that is what is found inside of our subconscious, right? So there's a hidden reason for this leprosy, right? For this external reason of action. So whenever we act, whenever we do things in an external way, it means it's because in our unconscious world, something is being stirred up. And that's something that we need to pay attention to. And that is the idea of leprosy. The leprosy is this unconscious disease, basically, right? Or which we call this disease is basically a lack of the flow, of the correct flow, of the correct balance that is found within the individual. And that leads him or her to act and to speak in a certain way. So before we go any further, I'd like to read you a portion from the Arizal. In the book, it's called the Kutei Torah of the Arizal, where he goes through the portions of the Torah and explains them in the Kabbalistic sense. You know, on our site, we have like a whole bunch of these lessons there. And I think like a bunch of years ago, I did do a lesson on this particular piece. But in this piece of Likutei Torah, the Arizal explains the whole idea of sickness, God forbid, right? Where does actual sickness come from? I picked the wrong one. The wrong, but I have Sefer Likutim. Okay, so all good. I was going to bring my book from my house, but I'm going to give you a synopsis of what the Arizal says. So the Arizal says that the word choli, or chole, God forbid, is which means sick, is basically 49, is the numerology of 49. That means that what is missing, the 50th, because the number 50 is the complete number. And what is that 50th number? So he calls it, it's the light of Abba. It's the light of Chochmah, which is missing from the individual. Because inside of our bodies, on a very physical level, we have a pulse, right? What is this pulse? He calls it Dofek. Right, dofek is the pulse, right? Kol dodi dofek says in Song of Songs that the voice of my beloved is knocking, is dofek. What does that mean? That the dofek is the pulse, and the Arizal speaks about how to take someone's pulse, and he says that one could feel someone's pulse and essentially know what they're missing, what they're lacking within the light of Abad, within the light of Chochmah. Because the whole reason for the sickness is that there's too much of an imbalance that's there, right? And he calls it, what's the imbalance? It's the imbalance of the Yud. And in Psalms 15, King David says that this man, a man will be healed who is laying there on the bed of sickness. And the word for that is eres devai, on the bed of sickness, God forbid. But he says devai is the letters, dalet vav yud is the letters yud. right? Divai is the permutation of yud, which is mixed up. So divai means sickness. But where does the sickness come from? It's because the letter yud has not been properly channeled in its right way. And eris, which means a bed, right? It says that about Og, that is eris, that he had a huge bed. And the bed is called eris, like arsi, right? Ein resh sin is also the letters eser, which is 10. So the word for bed is 10, and the word for divai of sickness is 10. And the whole reason for this imbalance is the imbalance of the letter yud, of the receiving of chachma. So back to our subject over here of the mitzora, right? The mitzora is motzi shemra, and it's called nega. It's called nega tzarat. The nega is an ailment. And what is this ailment, the nega tzarat? So it says in the book of Yetzira, there's nothing higher than oneg. There's nothing higher than oneg. Oneg is pleasure. And there's nothing lower than nega, than tzarat, than this ailment, right? Which are the same letters, correct? Oneg, ayin, nun, gimel, is the letters for nega, which means an ailment. And what has been mixed up over here, there's once again an imbalance of the divine flow, which is found within a person's body, which keeps us in homeostasis, which keeps us balanced, and this pulse turns from being kapad, kapeda. Kapeda is basically to be vengeful and grudgeful, right? To be filled with a grudge. That's kapid, right? To basically say I am not forgiving. So that's, what does that do for us, right? It doesn't do well for us to hold on to grudges. And whereas, where does this like healing come from? The dofek is fixed. The balance is fixed when the kpeda, when we let go of this place of judgment that is found within oneself. So what is this place of judgment that basically is the source of the tzarat of the leprosy? Okay, what is this really source? So going into the Arizal's teachings on this. So the Arizal says, what is going on over here on a spiritual level with leprosy? Okay. So he says that there are three forms of tzarat. Se'et, sapachat, and baheret. Right? So se'et is a very intense type of a white. And then sapachat and beheret are different variations of white. And he says that they have to do with what we call the feminine aspect on the spherotic tree. Okay? And this feminine aspect on the spherotic tree are divided into two. We have Leah and we have Rachel, okay? We have Leah and Rachel. In Kabbalah, Leah is called the mother of the children. The mother of the children are happy. And that level of Bina, of Leah, is that place of a deep intuition, of understanding that one has. And the realm of Rachel is the level of speech and then action, right? So the speech is basically this revelation, which is the aspect of Rachel. She is the feminine that is in this state of revelation, right? Rachel was beautiful, it says, outside and inside, while Leah was more beautiful on the inside. That means she came from the realm of thought, of intuition, of understanding. She was more hidden, we could say, while Rachel was revealed. And we know that Jacob had two wives, and on the Kabbalistic meaning, that means that Jacob was connected. Jacob is the masculine aspect that connects to both aspects of the feminine on the intuition level and on the action and the thought and the speech and the action level. And so the Arizal tells us that the reason for the negaim, the reason for these afflictions, for leprosy, the spiritual reason for this is because there's an imbalance on the level of the feminine, on the level of the Bina, and on the level of Rachel, which means as follows. Now, we all have this. We have both the feminine and the masculine inside of us at all times, right? We are comprised of the 10 sfirot. We have both masculine and feminine aspects inside of us. And what does that mean? The imbalance that we have on the feminine level, which is where these negaim really stem from. And so the Arizal explains that it comes from the following. We are comprised of two channels, right, that we have. This balance of life is comprised of two levels. And it's the level of what we call ratzo. Ratzo literally means to run, right? And shov means to come back. And it's based on a verse in Yechezkel that Ezekiel sees that the angels are going ratzo vashov. The angels are going up, ascending up, and they're coming back down. And in the Sefer Yetzirah, in the Book of Formation, says over there, imratz libcha, if your heart is running, if you have this contemplation, this desire, this ascent, this wish to go up and up, shov le'echad, come back to one. Sefer Yetzirah. Imratz libcha, shov le'echad. If your heart is running, 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 meaning I want to shov lechad, come back to one. What is this running, ratzo, and what is the shov? Which is basically the secret of the pulse. Because when there is too much of a higher level of pulse, right? That's a sign, that's an indication. That's not a good... That a person needs to really lower that pulse by coming to, right, by bringing that pulse to that balance, right? Which again, there's the physical, there's the medical ways of doing it, and over here we're talking about the spiritual levels of doing it and what's going on. So once again, there's this ascending that we do. And the ascending that we do is the desire to leave where we're at. And that's very, very important. Because if we're stuck where we're at, then we would not, you know, we wouldn't grow. Because we'd always be in the place that we're in, right? Yet, the coming back to the shov is the coming back of realizing that the now, and that God's wisdom, and the way the Arizal puts it, that the Ein Sof is found within Chochmah, and within the Chochmah, that is what is missing. And once that shov is there, shov le'echad, come back to the one, the realizing that there's oneness, and the oneness is this state of what we call bitul, of nullification, where a person absorbs, where a person receives the presence of the Creator, right, in their life. Okay? So what does that look like on a more of a, we could say, practical level? Okay? So it comes, it may look like this. You know, a person may be desiring something that they want in their life to change, And it's a very important thing to desire and to, right, and to pray for that thing. And what may happen after a state that a person is praying, so they're putting themselves, we could say, in a very positive place that they are praying, then, and it's a holy place, in fact, that they are desiring something. So there's an ascent upwards that a person yearns for, right? But then what could happen after that state of prayer, right? So so someone may say something to you, and you may, and obviously it's a test, you may answer them in a very angry way, in a short-tempered way. And the reason for that is because of when our emotions are utilized, right? In other words, our emotions are heightened. So if we don't bring it back to the one, and we don't like almost just ground, right, that energy of fire that's there, so then that fire may go to the wrong places. And that is the, we could say, the downside of Bina, right? And of the, and our feminine side inside of us, which is our emotions. So our emotions are very volatile. And unless our emotions are balanced with that presence of the Creator, in other words, taking that breath inside and just saying, like, I am now here, and I'm now, and I'm, and before I go on to other things, how has this been internalized and grounded? It is very possible that the emotions may be swayed and may go to the wrong places. Does this make sense? Does that resonate? Right?
Yes.
Right, that our emotions may come from a very strong and holy and sincere place, right? But then that feeling is already there, and the feeling is almost like a life of its own, and whoever and whatever may be in between me and the feelings may now sway the feelings to the wrong places, right? In other words, the emotions are very volatile if they are on their own, right? They could have a life of their own, and they could be very much taken to the wrong places, right? Emotions can completely lift us up to the highest heights and to the most fulfilling places, and it's the feeling of ban, of what we call an animal, right? It's that level of ban, and yet it may take us to the worst, to the most intense places as well. And this is the balance of what Kabbalah calls the balance of ma and ban. That ban is the emotional state. It's more of the lower level aspects, or we could say of Rachel specifically, but also of Leah, which ban ascends upwards and is basically very fiery, like an animal. It's like that fiery emotions. Whereas the name Ma is the same numerology as Adam. Adam is the word Ma, and Ma is Chokhmah. Chokhmah is the power of what? The Koach of Ma. And that's the ability to come back down, right? It's the coming to, right? There's the below to above energy, right? Which is more of the feminine energy, and the above to below energy, the level of ma, right? And by the way, in one of the most, I would say, beautiful blessings that we can say every single day is a blessing when we come out of the bathroom, right? And we do our thing where we thank God for healing, Well, what's the blessing that we say over there? Right? Asher yatzar et Adam bechokhmah. That God created man, Adam, bechokhmah, with chokhmah. And that blessing, if it says that a person that says this blessing, really with kavanah, with intention, they will not have to see a doctor in their life. If we really have that meditation, when we say that blessing every single day, and guess what? Because, you know, the ability for us to do our thing, right? We just kind of take it for granted, but it is an absolute miracle that we're able to, right, release what is ready to go from our body and to receive, right, the new. But guess what? There are 45 words in that blessing corresponding to the 45 letter name of God, of Hashem, which is which is the name of God, which corresponds to Chochmah, right? So there's 45 words in that blessing of healing. And the only reason for the ailment is because there is an imbalance, a dis-ease, right, between the above to below, the energy of the ban, and the and ma. And the Arizal explains what happens over here, right? He says that the kelim, what we call the vessels of Bina, are ascending a little bit too much erratically upwards. And that erratic ascent, right, it brings about what we called a se'et, this level of leprosy, right? And the erratic ascent or usage of the emotions is Sapachat and Baheret of Rachel, who actually has these two levels in it, because Rachel is a level of Malchut, and just not getting into the details of why she has both. But essentially what is going on over here and what is happening is that the light which was there, right, initially in those kelim, in those vessels of Leah and Rachel, are now devoid of that light. And instead, there is white. And what does that mean? White is the absolvement. It's the opposite of life, right? Because what does that mean? It's when there's blood, dam, which is also the achoraim, it says in a certain way of chokhmah. So we have dam is 44. And like the chokhmah is basically the 45, right? But the dam, the blood, what enlivens the blood, it's the chokhmah that's there. And when there is no blood over there, so then there's the whiteness. And the reason for that is because the vessels of Leah and Rachel are not joined, right? Are not receiving this light of Chochmah. So the light of Chochmah is not there. They don't have the shov. That means that now there is the whiteness that's there. So what happens? What does this leper have to do? So the leper goes to who? To the Kohen. And who is the Kohen? So the Kohen represents, this is a very deep idea. So the Kohen represents Chochmah, because on the spherotic level, right, we have the Kohen, we have the Levi, the Levi, and we have the Israelites, right? We've got the three, right? The three Am Segula, right? Which is Segol, the three people in the nation, right? So the Kohen represents the right side of Chesed, and above Chesed is Chochmah, whereas the Levi is below to above energy, the singing and the prayer and whatnot in the tents. That's the left side of Gevurah. That's the ascent upwards, and Israel is in the center, right? It's the it, And so the channel of the Kohen, okay, is the channel of Aaron HaKohen coming from there. Aaron is the letters Nir'eh in Hebrew. Nir'eh means to reveal. Right? Aharon is the letters to reveal. Because what does Aaron do? Aaron reveals godliness. He reveals love. He reveals God's presence in the world, right? Through his spiritual work. And that spiritual work was passed down via the DNA of all of his children, the Kohanim, right? That specifically, the child, it says in the Torah that only a Kohen has the ability to declare that this person is a metzora or not, right? Only a Kohen. And the Talmud says, what if the Kohen doesn't know the laws, doesn't know everything? So an Israelite scholar may say to the Kohen, say impure. So the Kohen has to say it. It has to come from the Kohan, from the Kohanic channel of purification or quarantine. Now, by the way, when we talk about quarantining, like putting someone away for a while and having them almost punished. Over here, we learn a very profound lesson that it's never about the punishment and the negativity of the punishment, because the punishment is coming from the Kohen, who is an Ish Chesed, a man of kindness. So the punishment isn't about the punishment. It's about the lesson. So this man, right, or the leper or whatever, is not punished by a Levi or someone else, let's say, that just has this information on what it looks like for him to be called a leper. But the Kohen is the one that really says this person is now a leper. And now you have the ability to do the work, to do this inner work on yourself. But on the spiritual line of the drawing down of Chochmah, that is basically what the leper is missing, because the leper has this condition of the lack of Chochmah, because the leper has been in a state that they have not really contemplated their actions. And like we said at the beginning, like there's some subconscious things that are going on in the leper's self, right? In the leper's psyche, that is causing that person to now act in that way, correct? So then what is that subconscious that is coming up for the person? It's this lack of paying attention to the inner world, right? And to the subconscious world. And I think that this is very, very, very much related to us in nowadays. So we learn about the leper. And once again, the Rambam says we don't have leprosy nowadays, but we do learn about the leper. And on a spiritual level, we learn about this. And on a spiritual level, there's a very, very profound lesson over here for all of us. And in fact, Mashiach is called a leper. That's how he's called, the Mashiach of Debei Rebbe in the Talmud in Sanhedrin says that. It's called a leper. And what's interesting is that the Torah says, Adam ki yeh be'o besaro. Adam, once again, Adam is 45, but this person, Adam, using the highest name, like we were learning in our Light Warrior classes, we were learning about the four names of Adam. The highest name of Adam is Adam, Adam. And then we've got the level of Gever, Ish, and Enosh. But over here, this person who seemingly should be called Enosh, because he's like on a very low level, we would say, right? Because they have leprosy. But the Torah says, no, Adam. Why is that? Because this person is actually gifted this challenge. Now, it may sound like not so, like not such a great gift, right? But the truth is that it is a gift because God is gifting to this person the ability to work on their stuff, to really work on the deepest part of who they are, to know who they are on the deepest level. And that's the greatest gift that we could have. When we know who we are, despite how challenging it may be, that is the deepest gift that we are given. And that's the deepest gift that God wants to give to us. And, you know, a lot of times we kick and scream, right? And we say to God, don't bring me to a test. And we ask Hashem, and God doesn't give anyone a test that they can't overcome. But it's coming from a place of what? Of love. And that's something very, very, very important that we need to remember and to distinguish, that it's coming from a place of love. And Michelle, I see your questions. Are there specific things that the leper does to help with self-evaluation? Well, he sits outside on his own and contemplating basically what brought him to this place, to this state. And that contemplation is not easy. But does someone help the leper do this? Yes. And the answer is the Kohen.
So can you talk about that process and also what the Kohen does to relinquish the physical evidence?
Yes. So after the certain amount of days that the leper is in the state of quarantine, so the ailment either goes away or it's still there. And if it's still there, it means, you know, he needs more time. But if it starts going away, that means that the healing has already begun. And there's a process of what this person brings. And basically, the person needs to shave their entire hair, right? And the hair represents the externality, okay? Hair represents excess of unconscious thoughts or speech or action. That's what hair really is, right? And the hair, yeah.
So, but you have the opposite with the Nazir who grows hair.
Correct, so, exactly. Yes, very good question. So the excess of hair, right? So where does hair come from? Let's just speak about that for a second. So hair, and we're talking about the hair specifically on the scalp, right? So the hair on the scalp grows from what is called the motarei ha-mochin, like the external of the mochin. The mochin is the mind, right? And is the spiritual mind, the divine godly mind that we have. And beyond that mind,
so the bald headless mind?
So beyond that mind, right, we have the external of the mind, which is the overcalculation. It's the overthinking. It's the over-identification of things that are in our world, right? It's the external, and the external, that external thinking about trying to do something, to achieve something, instead of, right? Again, it's the desire that one has. It's an over-desire. Whereas if a person almost like just stops and say like, I'm going to let God take care of it all. I'm letting go. It's not me who's going to solve this issue, right? This predicament. It's like, yes, God wants us to be proactive, correct? But when we overly are proactive, that's almost like the external of the hair, right? Now, what is about the Nazir? So the Nazir is, how are you? Welcome, Hassan Tala. Welcome.
Better late than never.
So we're actually talking about like the Nazir and the hair of the bride. And so the Nazir, the Nazir is what do you call it? The Nazir, the Nazir is the Nazirite that his hair, no, his hair is long, but the thing is, yeah, he puts into place the not drinking of wine and not being defiled by anything else. So that means that his hair now becomes an extension of holiness, right? Because, and he has extra power. And it's interesting, we learned this about Samson, right? That Samson, it was like, right, when his hair was cut, it was like this kryptonite that he lost his power, right? So that was the Nazirite hair, because he was able to safeguard the mind from going to any external. He wasn't drinking wine, which is, by the way, a Kohen is not allowed to drink wine, specifically in the temple, right? And the Rambam says that if a Kohen knows when they're going to be serving in the temple, then they're not allowed to drink wine during that time, right? And if they are not sure when they're, you know, 24, then they shouldn't be drinking wine at all, which is like, whoa, right? But then the Rambam says that since we don't know when the temple is going to be built, and we don't know when, which part of our, you know, 24 groups of Kohanim, the Kohanim are, so then, you know, you're allowed to. And basically, but we have 18 minutes until Mashiach comes. And within 18 minutes, you know, you could have the temple coming down, and that 18 minutes is enough to come to, right? If a person really needs to. So anyways, so the whole idea of actually of a married woman, right, is like perfect time of actually covering her hair. That's the idea of the feminine, when the feminine, right, the marriage is this merging of Chochma and Bina, right, of wisdom and the two of them together, right? And there could be that excess of hair for a woman who is married, right? That means that she's taken, right? And that means that there's holiness there in that union. And the hair represents the possibility of this holiness going to the klipot, to the other side, right? God forbid, where the covering of the hair now basically retains that place of holiness, covers it, and yeah.
Because the guy is cutting the hair. We need to cover the
So hair. What happens? So what happens to the Nazir? Nazir gets completely shaved, like his whole body gets shaved. Yeah, yeah, everything gets shaved. All of the hair, because the hair represents the externality, the excess. The excess is the cause for that bina, right? For the person to basically have this ease where they go to the wrong places, right? And that causes the nega, that causes the tzarat, that causes the leprosy to come about. And by the way, when the Levites were inducted into their Levitehood, they were completely shaved as well. The Levites, because the Levites represent the left column. The left column is this ascent of going upwards and the fire. And if the fire is not contained, then again, that analogy of the hair could go to the wrong places, and where Levites go to. It's like almost like anger. When a person has a lot of fire, they also have a lot of anger.
So he should shave.
But anger, it says that about King David, right? King David is from Malchut, right? The feminine, right? And you say about King David that when he got mad, it says his eyes were red. He was red.
Yeah.
Fire, but his eyes turned red. But then when he got this, basically Malchut is basically it says that the father births the daughter. Well, that's obvious. But what does that mean? The father represents the realm of Chochma. And the daughter is this realm of Malchut. And that special connection between father, daughter kind of a thing, right, is the drawing down of Chochma into this realm of Malchut, which the Zohar says is actually the letters Shabbat. Because Bat means a daughter, Shin is basically, is the Shin is Chochma, Bina, and Dat, but it has to do with the Mochin. And it's basically the three levels of Shabbat, where we have the lower level, Lecha Dode Likert Kala, the ascent of the Kala to go up, and then the day of Shabbat. And then so there's the three levels of the Chochma coming down into Malchut, which is the seventh day, which is Shabbat, right? And then when King David was filled with Chochma, which he always was with the learning of Torah, he was a king. And what was his? What did he do all day? He basically was studying. And the idea of studying Torah, the idea of channeling above to below, specifically the written Torah, Torah Shebichtav, that drew down Chesed. That drew down Chochma. And it says at that point, his eyes were beautifully blue. Tov ro'i, that the eyes were like ocean blue. Were ocean blue, were the eyes of, you know, of King David. And they say, you know, I've never seen, but whoever saw, you know, walk by the Rebbe, and they saw like the Rebbe's eyes, there was just like this ocean blue. You feel like you're sailing in these like in the ocean. You look at the Rebbe's eyes.
Can I just say one thing in relation to the hair?
Yeah.
In relation to the hair and in relation to the reddish color of the flesh versus the white color of the tzaraat, mm-hmm. it's also related to blood.
Yes.
So when you have hair growth, when you have hair, it's related to a lot of blood flowing to that area.
Yes. Exactly.
And that's why when you have the lesions, and they're discolored, it means that there's blood stagnation. The blood is not flowing. Therefore, there's no hair on that patch.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And that's exactly the reason for the tzaraat. The tzaraat is a lack of flow of blood to that place, meaning that there is... That place has gone almost to the, what we call like the other side, right? It's already been contaminated by this negativity, right? By this, by the other side, right? And so what needs to be considered for a person to be a leper? The hair. The hair needs to turn white. So it's not enough that there's just the white patch, but the hair needs to turn white as well. There needs to be at least one hair inside of that growth that turns white. And what is that an indication of? So the indication is that, well, naturally, we are not perfect. We're humans. And naturally, we get upset, right? We're anxious about certain things. We overthink about certain things, and there's a balance between when that is normal to when that is actually a problem, an ongoing problem, right? And that's the difference between the white patch and when the hair turns white. What happens at the point when the hair turns white? That's an indication that the person already went beyond what the normal constraint boundaries, we could say, of our human self that is faulty, that does go into these kind of places, right? And that hair could then turn white. What does that mean? It means that now the person has now become completely unconscious of what they are doing, of what they're at, where they're at. So this may show itself in many, many different ways, right? In ways of of behavior, of addictions, of depression, right? Of
and stop talking.
Right? Of of overthinking, of persistent negativity that a person's mind is in, right? And this balance between the two, just the patch, in other words, God made us imperfect and we're in this world to like work on stuff, and and we all make these mistakes and we are all there and not there, right? And again, when we bring the presence of Chochmah, that's the presence of the Kohen. So then there's the presence of the light of coming back to the present moment. Whereas when the Kohen, basically what the Kohen does, and this really answers your question a lot more, Michelle, what the Kohen really does is allows the person to observe themselves.
With a lot of love.
Well, with non-judgmentalism, because that's what, again, that's what pulse means in Hebrew, dofek, but it also means, dofek also means judgmental. Kaped means judgmentalism. Because when we look at ourselves and we're self-judging, then our health, our spiritual health, our physical health is not where it should be. Because now we're saying, I don't even want to look at myself. I want to engage in this activity, in this place that I don't need to think about myself. I don't need to think about it because it's too painful, right? And this is something that we all do, but a person that really could go to a low place in life, God forbid, is and basically this happens with addicts. Where almost like we could think about leprosy in that way, where a person just is like, is in too much pain to really observe and to really see it, to do any of the work. And they need to check in. And sometimes that's checking into being in a very low place, but then you have to check in to get the help that you need to get.
So, Rabbi Amichai, so leprosy, or what we're calling leprosy, doesn't always mean that the mistake was lashon hara. Is that what you're saying?
So, what is lashon hara, and what is the reason for this negative talk? Again, negative talk could be not just talk outside, but negative self-talk, which is the hardest. Oh, I'm so this. I can't believe I did that. I can like. That wow. Those self imposing and words that we say, why do we talk negatively about others? It's only because we have that self talk to ourselves.
Because we try it first on ourselves, and then it looks good. We talk about others.
That's it. Our language. Our ways of speaking, the way you could really tell a person in the way that they speak, if what comes out of their mouth, every other word is like, is negative, is a trauma, is bad. So then you know what's going on inside of the person, you know? They're traumatized inside, regardless of how manicured they look and how successful they are. You know that they're hitting the bar and they're downing whatever to basically escape themselves, escape life. So you know what's going on outside, because on the inside they are having that they are extremely unconscious. Why? Because the light of Abba, which is the light of Chochmah, which is what the Kohen basically offers to the leper, right? The mitzora, right? Of which mitzora is also the letters of tsar ein, of also very narrow of eyes, right? What does that mean, tsar ein? There's a narrow eye that a person has. What's the narrow eye? Narrow eye is like I'm seeing someone else in a narrow way, not in a large way. Why do we see narrowness in others? Like, and because the narrowness is also found inside of us. Like I'm saying, like this person, like it can't be all of us. It's either me or them. It's like the narrowness. Where does the narrowness come from? Sarad is letters Sar Ein as well. Is Mitzar, like that basically that judgmentalism. No, why did that person do that? You know, I'm gonna get back at that narrowness, right? Is because there's judgment. There's too much judgment on the left side, on the place of Bina. And that leads to that whiteness, those patches of white that are there, because now a person is like, we're not in our true godly state. Because what's the true godly state? Hashem is Shefa. Hashem is abundance. Hashem is now. Hashem is absolute presence. Hashem is giving us life every single second. And there's absolutely no lack. The lack is in our mind. The lack is in our mind. And we think that there's the lack, and we think that there's the, because we haven't observed the full picture, right? We haven't observed it. And the role of the Kohen as being almost like the Jewish, like shaman over here in a sense, that the Kohen basically takes this individual who is a mitzora, right? A leper, and works with this person. And what is this process of working with the person? It's a state of observation. Aharon is the letters near a, of appearing, of observing. Aharon's role was to cause himself, to cause others to be observant. What is observant? Not literally observe, but observant, which is to have an observation. What is observation? Unbiased observation, not a judgmental observation. To observe ourselves and not to judge ourselves, right? Because the purpose of correction is not to judge ourselves. It's to observe it and to say, what? Well, why was I feeling that way? Why did I do that? And I'm not bad for doing that, right? That like that whipping that leash. There's, you did this. You're bad, and then that translates into how we see the world, and we also judge everyone else because inside we judge. But the Kohen and the love of the Kohen, that's the idea of the divine intelligence of observation leads the leper to observe and to come to a state of what we call shov, coming back. That place of shov takes that ratzo, which is potentially very good. Leah and Rachel are the divine mothers on the level of Bina and Malchut, right? But without the shov, without the wisdom, without chachma, then they are basically on a life of their own. That's the emotional world, which is a life on its own, which could go to places which are very dangerous, which are very unrefined, which are very we could say lack of life, right? Which leads to a lack of potential of life, which is that white patch, right? But if the white now becomes, the action becomes so bad that now there's a white hair, that means that the hair, which is the external of so that is the end. That's a show like, come on, you're rock bottom over here. Rock bottom means like, you need to fix this. But if you fix this now and you transform the nega, then you have oneg, then you're able to come right to the place of pleasure. Oneg, it's the same letters, because where's oneg found? Oneg Shabbat, what we call about Shabbat, oneg Shabbat, that's from the letters of the Shin. We have the Chochmah, we have the letters going into the Bat, going into the, we have the oneg, right? That's the difference between the Yom Tov and Shabbat. On Shabbat, we have oneg. On Yom Tov, on the holidays, we have Simcha. What's Simcha? Ema Banim Smecha. There's a mitzvah to drink wine on the holidays, right? On Shabbat, not necessarily. You don't have to drink wine necessarily. I mean, it's a part of like the pleasure of Shabbat, but like you don't. It's not inside because Oneg, which is more connected to the realm of the Kohanim, right? Which is more hidden, rather than the Levites, which are more ostentatious, more like musical. It's more like external. The idea is more like water, right? The drawing down of water. Whereas the Levites is the energy of wine or fire, right? Which ascends upwards. So the Kohen's role in all of this is to draw down water, basically. And the water is this divine like observation and contemplation and bringing down this wisdom into one's life, as opposed to, oh my God, what's going on? Hysteria. It's and being not centered and not in the now, not in the present, because oh my God, what is this happening? Ah. And that's the emotional world, which is chaotic, right? That which is traumatized. And if we really translate this to really our life now in 2024, where everyone is traumatized. everyone is traumatized, and it's something that is spoken about, and it's a good thing that we're speaking about it. And there's the much
Rabbi, more
of a sense of vulnerability about trauma, and about, you know, speaking about these places. And one thing, and I see Michelle, I see you want to ask one, and Karen, I just want to say this, that when I was learning this concept, again, I mean, I've learned it before, and I'm leaving out a very important, like, beautiful, beautiful piece on this, because we're kind of like out of time, but I think we kind of got like really the gist of this. The sense that I got from learning this is that, going back to the word Adam, who is the Metzora? Adam. Why? Adam is the most elevated person. And in our cycle right now, in 2024, in these times, right? And in this war that's going on over here in Israel and around the world, and anti-Semitism and all this craziness going on, all of these afflictions and all of these, right? We may not call it leprosy per se, but it is, right? It's that form of like these patches are there, and maybe even the white hair is there, right? That's that. And what is it? You know, God is bringing all of this out to Adam, right? Again, Mashiach is called a leper, a metzora. Why? Because it's here and it's happening, not out of punishment, but that we observe and that we see that we are already in Geula, that we are already in redemption, that we are already there. And where does that come from? That comes from Chochmah. So why do we think that we're still in this state of exile? Because we hold on to these afflictions and we're like, they're mine. I've known them since I was this age. And my father had the same thing, or my mother had the same thing. And this is just who I am. And that's what I can't change. That's it. I was born this way. I'm good.
It's in the DNA.
It's in the DNA, and that's it, you know? And the Torah says, no, 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 my friend. It's not in your DNA. It may be in your DNA, fine. But God is bringing this up. And whatever is brought up for you, whatever is coming up, is not a coincidence. Whatever is happening now is not a coincidence. It's being brought up so that you can see it. Aharon, the letters near A, appears. God is bringing it so you could see it, but not judge it. Because that's Dofek, Kapad, same letters as pulse, is to be judgmental. When we're judgmental, how do we feel? The blood pressure goes up. I'm looking and I'm observing and I'm seeing. Right? And who's to who? What is that element? That's the Kohen inside of us. That's seeing it. And then seeing it from a place of love. Because, yes, this is coming up for me. Well, why is it coming up? Because God says it's already ready to let go. It's already not yours. It's your external levels, Adam. And that's why Mashiach is called a leper. Because the collective level of Mashiach, the redemption, right, is this perfection of all of humanity. But yet on the outside, there is this old luggage, old, you know, clothing that we've held on to for so long. And the Mashiach is basically, I'm letting go of that. So my challenge is, or the Torah's challenge, and maybe the application of this to us in our days, is are we willing to let go of those associations of ourselves, because we base ourselves on this is who I am based on those parts of self that I've been holding on to as being, that's my identity. But that's not your identity, right? That's not your true identity. That's a very ego-centered identity that's saying, I am this, and I'm my ailments. And what is missing is the Kohen, basically. The light of Chochmah, the light of presence, which is now meant to enter one's consciousness. Because if that enters one's consciousness, that means that I take a breath in, which actually breath in and breath out just is this up and down, right? Ratzo vashov. Breathe in and out. So that you can't just breathe in all the time. You can't breathe out all the time. And the perfect balance of the two is when we have the ascent and we have the coming to, right? So the coming to is the light of Chochmah, which we're ready to embrace. But it's, for some people, it's scary, because then who will I be if I don't have my ailments? So I'm not this leper person anymore. And then who will I be? And then there's a fear of that, because you have no identity. But the thing is, what is identity? What is the true identity of self, right? True identity of self is our godly soul and our mission in this world, which is really our true shame, name. And what is Metzorah? Motzi Shem Ra. Motzi Shem, on a deeper level, there's Lashon Hara, but Motzi Shem, what's the name over here? The name is Leah and Rachel, who are called Shem. That's what the Arizal says. That the, and also Baal Shem Tov, just by the way, is called, like, the idea of Shem is the idea of the name and of the identity, of the true deepest identity is the name, right? But we have the name, which is our external facet of who we are, which could be the shame of our afflictions. I'm known by my pain, right? Versus the true shame, name, is I'm known by my purpose. Exactly. I'm known by my purpose. And that means that it is never too late. And we're just starting now. And we're starting today. And we're starting now. And that's the thing, that it's that we could be stuck in the old and have this old mentality. In other words, someone could be 20 years old and be old, right? Right? And somebody could be in their 80s and even 90s, and they're just starting today. Because every day is a new life, is a fulfilling life. is an opportunity to bring Hashem in the moment, in the day right now. So every day I actually come to a new identity, a new shame. And that's the way to live life, because I'm not who I am today, who I was yesterday. That's the excitement, right? But the ego jumps around and is like, no, you're this. And therefore, because you were that yesterday, so you're that today also. And that's the way our default mind just right away goes to. It's like, right? Let's think about this. How long after we say Modani in the morning, right? We wash our hands, we say Modani, thank you, Hashem, bring me. Come to, right? And then like all of a sudden, give it 20 seconds. The mind is already like, what do I have to do today? What's happening? What am I going? Can we challenge ourselves to give ourselves maybe even 2 minutes? And this is really a long stretch. Like, give yourself a minute, right? Start with a minute of, I'm a new creation now, right? We are.
Yeah.
Now, today, I'm a new creation. Don't go on the phone. Don't go on the thing, on the mind ride, the mind train, which is going, right, 180 miles an hour. I'm right now blessed. And that's the chokhmah, right? I am now blessed to take a minute. I want to really challenge all of us, right? Can we take a minute each morning to lean into this new shame, this new identity that we have in the new day that is upon us? Yeah, and guaranteed, if you can do that, on some level, your day will be a different day. But it's probably the hardest thing to do of the entire day, because your whole day really happens from the first couple of moments of when you wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you a question, Rabbi?
How long a minute actually is?
Yes.
In real time.
Oh, yeah.
You go through your day. So 10 minutes. But when you stop and just are in a minute's a very long time.
It is a lot. Yeah. And you'd be like, oh my God, like, is a minute gone? Is a minute, did it pass? But like, try to breathe into that minute and not put any identity, not put any need to do something, not to be, to just feel the gift of life that you are given, that is the greatest gift that we have, the chokhmah, right? Mode ani lefanecha, melech chai v'kayam, right? To really say that and to, right? But even beyond it, right? Just a little bit more. And then that really rewires our mind for the whole day. It is that powerful. You could meditate like in the middle of the day. You could meditate even in the morning after you do that. But if you could do that minute, that is the most powerful golden meditation of the entire day. That's golden meditation. Yeah.
You know, when I wake up in the morning, the divine soul is awake.
Well, the meditate, there is no, that's the thing. There is no form to it.
That's the consciousness.
You are accepting the now. You are accepting this new day as is without judging yourself.
Not
basically
thinking about yesterday, don't think about tomorrow, just be.
Don't say, well, because right away we jump into identity, right? Very, very quickly. Okay, I'm here. Now, that, and it just goes like boom. So quickly, right? Our mind is in default mode, just knows exactly what needs to happen. And how do we feel very often in the morning? Like this anxiety. Oh my God, I gotta be here. I gotta do that. Yeah, everything will happen much better if we're able to breathe into that. That's chokhmah. That's wisdom. That's the morning. That's the Kohen. It says that in the morning, that's where the light of chesed really comes for the whole entire day, right? Mm-hmm. Avraham, when did he do his work? Avraham is also called a Kohen, right? When did he do his work? In the morning. Like Avraham is this. So questions. I saw Michelle.
Yeah, Karen. I have a question.
Go ahead, Karen.
Are you sure?
Go ahead.
Well, first of all, relating to that, today when I sat down to daven, because I had pretty much a free day, I opened my siddur and I did that. I'm like, please, Hashem, you know, just keep me present while I'm doing the prayers, and realizing like my mind is just limited by time, and there really like is none. It's God is constantly, you know, creating from, you know, nothing to something. When someone is sick, does that mean, you know, because they need a cleansing? Like if you're, like a spiritual impurity, you know, when someone's sick,
is that sick?
Like a punishment, but.
It is. I mean, it certainly is. Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. It's an indication that we are not in the correct
off balance.
Right. And so the Arizal knew, and Kabbalists, there are Kabbalistic healers that actually still live today that know exactly what the source of it is. And the Arizal speaks about actually taking a pulse and knowing and feeling the pulse for certain thumps. Like, yeah, it's almost you're a Vedic kind of pulse, but it's different. Right. And feeling in for the different, what we call the nekudot, the vowels. Because the vowels, he says that there's 10 ways of there's 10 vowels in the Hebrew language, and they're you know, there's different dots in all of them. So to feel where the thumps actually come from, this is a tradition which has not been, let's say, passed down in you know, for the masses. But there are healers like that you know, that do live. That have this tradition passed down to them.
Also, yeah. Lastly, really quick, I met the Rebbe a couple times.
Wow.
And it was exactly that, his eyes. I mean, you know, wow. He looked at you and literally was like someone was reading your soul. Like, he kind of looked straight into your soul and gave you a bracha, I guess, based upon what he could see or feel that one needed. Thank you very much. This is a wonderful class. Oh, I learned so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Hashem.
Yes.
I'm Michelle.
Hi. Yeah. Okay. So someone who's in this state may not just be able to, okay, go over there, be by yourself, and do self-evaluation. So I'm wondering if the Kohen does something like what a therapist might do, where there's real conversation with the person. So the Kohen's like in a therapist role, right?
Yes. So it is very much that, right? But on a spiritual level, it's not just therapy, but there's an energetic exchange which is happening.
Right. Understand that. Okay, so does the Kohen do some type of internal visualization and prayer that helps to dissolve the lesion, where it's not just the person observing, but you know, and coming to realize, but something mental, like a mental healing? Does the Kohen actually do anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So there must be texts and like written instructions somewhere to teach a Kohen how to do all this. Is that correct?
Yes.
Are there people learning that now?
There are on some level. I could say that we have like a group of Kohanim. I'm just say that there are one person in particular is very, very into this, put it that way, and in the healing modalities. And it's something which I guess is waiting to come out in the right time. And I think right now is the right time, to tell you the truth.
So there is there any practicing?
There is. Yes.
And I won't ask you for the details. I'm just
and I can say that there is practicing on some levels, and I'm wishing for a lot more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on. Okay, I'm not done. So you mentioned eyes changing color. I'm just curious, is there anything about the significance of eyes turning a yellow color? Have you ever read or studied anything like that?
She should have it.
Yeah, someone, it has what to do with a liver, some sort of a...
Well, I know that, I know, but I'm like, go beyond that. Like, go beyond the leprosy, go beyond the liver. Is there something spiritual to it? Do you know?
Yellow? No, I haven't really. No.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's all right. Yeah. Okay. So, so is this type of leprosy, this is not contagious, right? This is spiritual.
No, it's spiritual.
So,
right.
Okay. So the quarantine is solely for the person to do self-evaluation. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, what about leprosy? And I thought that leprosy actually was not an accurate word to describe the skin condition.
Mm-hmm.
Like not an accurate translation of the Hebrew word?
It's the closest one, yeah. But again, there's Nega and there's Tzarat, and you know that obviously the Hebrew is way more.
Okay.
The Hebrew captures it.
Okay, so I mean, other nations, other people have gotten leprosy, you know, where it actually eats away some of the limbs, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, yeah.
There must be, obviously, there must be something spiritual there. And
100%. Yeah, okay. No, there's no question about it. It's just like the Maimonides, the Rambam says that in temple days, right, basically, where we were able to do the fixing and the healing. So then that was brought about in a much more of a prevalent way so that we can do the work. But like nowadays, like we don't fully, like we wouldn't get it. Like we would just like be angry or, right, you know, or curse our fate, right? Which people do. Like they're like, oh, why does this happen to me? You know, God doesn't love me, whatever. Versus no, like the truth is like, God does love you, and even the ailment, right, the nega, is just a hidden blessing that's waiting to be revealed.
Right, I understand
but
that.
That's true. But that's true all the time. So, you know, that's true just, you know, nowadays as well. But like that spiritual ailment, right, is basically these very high lights that are just that
out of control,
have gone awry.
Okay, but I mean the other type of skin illness that is called leprosy, that is contagious, right?
Yeah, I believe so. I don't know how much. I mean, I think we have a lot less of leprosy,
right?
Like, you know, nowadays, I think.
Right.
Yeah, but anyways.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
beautiful
pleasure.
Plants. Wow, I was never aware of the higher level of this. So thank you so much.
Pleasure. All right, my friends. So I want to wish you a beautiful Shabbat. May we all be blessed with the ability to really just let go of those ailments, right, that are on the outer side, outer parts of ourselves, and to just recognize that that maybe now's the time that you know we could recognize they're not us, right? They're not us. We don't own it anymore, and we could release it, right? We could let go of that and allow that divine self, which is the true identity, the true shame, right, which comes back in the level of shov, of presence of of the true self, to really shine forth and be. So that's going to be the reality, right? That when Mashiach comes, and that's the reality right now, that and we're just waiting to let go of this old perception that is really old. It's really just it really is ready to be released. So in the name of the Metzora and the Kohen that's doing all the healing, there certainly is a lot of healing in this Torah portion in this week. So anything that you believe is an ailment in your life is just to recognize that it is just waiting to be released and healed. So there's a lot of positive energy, although it may seem like it is the opposite.
Thank you so much.
Many blessings, everyone. And I'd love to hear more about the challenge that if you guys are able to do the 1 minute before, right, as you're waking up in the morning. I am identity-less. I am formless, right? I am a child of God, right? I am Hashem's child. Many blessings, my friends. Lots of love.
Same to you. Thank you.
Shabbat shalom. Sure.